What are you listening to?
Shut the hell up. I'm listening to the Noise Cast.
What is the Noise Cast?
I said shut up.
Ow. The Noise Cast.
Ha! 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 I'm at the Pizza Hut.
What?
I'm at the Taco Bell.
What?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Noise Cast, formerly the White Noise Podcast, currently on episode 13, beginning of a new year, 2011. We're a show about technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and things of that sort. From now on, we are known as the Noise Cast with our new website at www.thenoisecast.com. Our Twitter is the same at twitter.com/noisecast, where you can find us live tweeting right now and all this other crazy useless information. But as the first episode of the new year, we are changing our thing and doing some stuff a little bit different, but we're still the same crew, same people, much more awesome. Starting off with tonight's roster, on the mic tonight we have Gonzo Ryder.
Yay!
Veto number 9.
If you want a gun with a high rate of fire, get yourself a Vladov.
Kaiser Machead.
Good to be back.
Ron Taraj.
Hello, hello.
Kevlar on the live tweet.
I am live tweeting from Ron's mom's basement.
And resident DJ Orphic.
What's up, guys?
As you can tell, it's the same people, different name, lots of fun. Thank you all for coming tonight, even though we're recording before the new year. Pretend like this is 2011. And pretend you had a crazy, crazy new year.
It's the future.
Yes. To start off, we're going to just do a little recap of 2010. Just a couple questions. First off, what was your favorite piece of technology or gadget that came out in 2010?
Ooh. My Droid X. No, honestly, there's been so much lately that I can't choose. I love all of it. That's why I'm here, because I geek out over gadgets. I go completely apeshit crazy when new stuff comes
out. I can't
out.
Think of a single item that I could point out as being number one.
Yeah, I'm a little lost on that too. Like, there's, I'm at the Echo along with these other guys here. I mean, my favorite gadget that I own is like my Roku, but I'm pretty sure that isn't that like 2 years old already, or like the brand, or
no idea.
Yeah.
All right. But, we have no favorite gadget. We love them all equally. We don't discriminate.
Unless it's made
That's
by
not
Apple.
True. I don't love the iPad.
Jobs.
Fuck Steve Jobs.
All right, sorry, it had to be said.
Okay, maybe a little different twist. Your top WTF story that happened in tech this year in 2010. Something that you heard that happened that just totally blew your mind away.
Besides the Gawker hacking?
Besides the Gawker hacking.
That was so much fail. I was tuning into that live. Like, I mean, as everyone knows, like, I work in IT, so I'm reading the logs, and I'm reading those, and I'm like, they're getting owned while they're saying, like, Nick Denton's like, oh, they just bypassed one of my passwords. And, like, they're like, oh, we're fucking owning you, bitch. I'm, like, watching these, like, live blogs, and I'm laughing my ass off. I mean, it was insane. I mean, first off, they're using MySQL. They have it published live. They got the encryption keys for that. I mean, the whole thing was just phenomenal. It was an awesome read. That's all I got to say.
Word. So the Gawker hack tops Orphic's WTF story of 2010.
Oh, for sure. What the fuck?
I'd have to go with the iPhone 4 scandal with it being found in the bar. It seems like so long ago.
Okay, yeah.
That was this year. And yeah, that was definitely a big what the fuck, especially considering Apple's secrecy with everything they do. So that was a good one.
It's actually hard to remember that was this year.
Yeah.
See, mine is also an Apple what the fuck, but it's not so much the having it found in the store. It's when everybody was having problems with their phone dropping, and Steve Jobs was like, "Well, you're holding it wrong."
Yeah,
you can't tell me that you didn't read that and go, "What the fuck? How the hell am I supposed to hold it, asshole?" It's like a phone.
You want to hear the funniest story ever? The night that I brought home my brand new iPhone 4, I called one of my friends who's like really into droids, and I'm like, I'm gonna call him up and do a victory call. I'm gonna be like, "Oh, guess who got his iPhone 4 and launched it?" Click. He was like, he calls back. He's like, "What the fuck happens?" Like, my phone's dropping calls.
For the record,
we're holding it wrong.
I'm doing this podcast on an iPhone 4 without a case, and if I drop once, I'll be surprised.
Well, that explains your shitty voice quality. Shut your mouth, Ron.
What are you holding it?
Do you get reception in your mom's basement?
I'm holding it in my hand. I've actually, to be perfectly honest, I own the iPhone 4, and I have relatively good service in my area, and I've never had a problem with drop calls with this one, or any of them for that matter.
Well, do you want to suck Steve Jobs' dick while you're at it?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, everybody complains about it, and I don't know. I guess I'm lucky.
The reason I complain is because I experienced those drop calls.
I experienced them every day. I mean, it was like normal. It was like I expected to drop calls when I was using my phone. And so I figured out I was holding it wrong because, you know, I was holding it like you hold a fucking phone.
Well, for me, I didn't even have to have an iPhone 4 to get drop calls. I was just dropping on AT&T just because AT&T. There was no reason. I was on a 3G and I was getting drop calls like crazy. But
you know, I've been on AT&T for about a year now, and my phone hasn't dropped any more than my Sony Ericsson did when I was on T-Mobile. Maybe I'm just lucky, but you know, I haven't really had terrible service with it. But then
I'm
in New York, I don't know.
From T-Mobile, which is like the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
Which is actually ramping up its efforts to become a heavyweight with
the doesn't it have like 4G now going on in there? Or?
It's got 8Gs.
Their speed is, they call it 4G speed, but it's not technically 4G.
Well, actually, they changed the definition of 4G to include LTE, whatever the hell T-Mobile has right now and all that stuff, to be included in the definition, even though 4G speed started about, I think, is it 100 or 1,000 megabits per second down? I think it's 100.
It's got to be 100. It's definitely not 1,000.
Yeah, but it has a potential to go up to 1,000, I believe.
1,000?
Yeah, one gigabit per second download. But no, the organization that decides what's 4G and what isn't, they changed their definition to include now current technologies because everybody's marketing them like that, so nobody listens to them. They listen to what T-Mobile or Sprint or Verizon tell them.
Yeah.
Oh well. But... any other WTF stories?
No. I think we covered
this podcast started in 2010. That's a WTF.
Touché, sir.
I think mine was when EA started charging people $10 when purchasing a used game just so they could use it online again. I don't know if you guys heard about that. This was like over the summer. Yeah, over the summer, I believe, because there's a huge market for used games out there. Whether you get them ripped off from GameStop or whatever you go. But if you buy a used game like Call of Duty, like let's say you get Modern Warfare, and you want to play online, because you've already used the key or whatever, I don't know, EA is charging people $10 on top of the used game purchase just to be able to play it again online.
Good.
Or even
fuck
play
them.
It.
For so. Being a cheap bitch buying used games.
Dude, used games are where it's at.
No, they're not.
Yes. Why would I want to pay full price for something I can get half price that works just as good?
Because that contributes to video games being more expensive.
Then you find me a new copy of Orange Box that I could buy.
Video games are becoming more expensive because people are still distributing them with CDs and cases and shit like that instead of digitally distributing them.
And...
yeah,
I mean, if they got off their asses and started digital downloads and digital distribution, they wouldn't have this problem.
That would fix it.
Well, I mean, for something like a lightweight Wii game or you know something like that, I can understand. But for a lot of these games, like, what is it? Has Metal Gear Solid for PS3 been released yet? isn't that game like many, many gigabytes large? Like, and also like Gran Turismo and the sort. Like, those games would take forever to download.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. You gotta, the digital download thing is all about hard drive space, and that's such a pain in the ass.
And Forza 3 had two fucking DVDs, man. There's the game disc, and then there's the content installation disc.
Really? Well, that's about the same size as Arkham Asylum, which took three hours to download. It was like 8 gigs for the whole game on Steam.
Yeah, and that's if you have a good connection, right? Like, what's your home connect like?
I pay for 22, but I get 25 down.
Yeah, a lot of people, I imagine, don't get much of that at all. Like, if you want some guy living
in the streets,
yeah, well,
we can't get what we want.
Thanks a lot, Bin Laden.
What?
On the topic of games, there was a new the Kinect's been getting a lot of press in terms of its ability to be hacked to do shit that it's not meant to do, but which makes sense. The Kinect, the Microsoft Kinect, was actually hacked to be able to play World of Warcraft on your PC with it, to do all the movements and stuff. Vito, have you used this yet?
Not going to. Not gonna happen.
You prefer to sit down while you play?
Dude, there's so many fucking buttons that you have to push when you're playing Warcraft. There's no way you're gonna be able to use a Kinect.
You look like you're seizuring.
Yeah. Somebody fucking sneezes from across the room and, oh look, I just blew all my cooldowns. Great.
I'm so glad I have no clue what that is.
Yeah, right?
Standing in front of the Kinect and doing mining over and over and over again.
Mining for gold.
Your arm, you get like, I don't know, growths in your shoulders from just doing that over and over again.
You'd look like Quagmire when he discovered internet porn.
Biceps.
Microsoft was also in the news with its Microsoft Fuse Lab. Is sort of it got announced last year. It's pretty much Microsoft's Google Lab sort of thing, but for social media and the internet, and they've been pushing a lot of new features in there in order to better integrate Microsoft with social media. Has anybody tried Microsoft Fuse Labs by any chance?
Nope.
I haven't used the apps yet. The site itself looks pretty nice, though. I like the interface of it. I noticed one. Let me see the name of it. It's the first one on the page.
Montage?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Montage. It's sort of, what is that? Like, it's not a Flickr or a photo bucket type thing, right? Like, it's just for aggregating different articles and like, things in the media or what?
Yeah, it's sort of like creating, they call it a visual web album, I believe. But you sort of create like a montage of topics and web components on one page to bring the whole internet sort of to you in one location.
Isn't there an app for iPad that does that called, was it Flip? I believe it's called Flip.
Not quite sure. But they're actually, it's surprising. I mean, this stuff is coming out of Microsoft, which is sort of, you think of Microsoft as a mature company, but to see this stuff, in development and coming out, it's surprising that they're thinking of the future of the web in such a out of the box from such an out of the box perspective. So,
does it make you install stupid Silverlight to use it?
Not sure. It doesn't say Silverlight anywhere on the website, because usually if they did, they'd have Silverlight plastered everywhere on it.
I hate that thing. What is it?
Well, being a Mac fanboy, you probably hate Flash, too.
No, I don't mind. I mean, certain sites that use Flash and use it well, I don't mind. You know, sites that are, like, heavy in Flash that bog down your whole computer, they kind of get annoying. But, you know, Silverlight is just stupid. I don't get it.
I just got a Microsoft Silverlight update when going to the Fuse Bing Twitter Maps page. So, here's your answer.
Yeah, I actually found Silverlight to be better than Flash in a lot of respects. I mean, the Firefox on my Mac is a pain in the ass and doesn't play video very well. because it's become such a bloated memory hog. But
yes,
it seems it chokes on Flash a lot. Like anything that's playing Flash, it'll, you know, really work the hell out of the computer. But when I go to Netflix, which has uses Silverlight for its player, it works just fine. I think, was it Silverlight? Usually it has better hardware acceleration for Macintosh. So I imagine that's the reason why it's not as such a pig on the resources.
Yeah, I mean, my problem with it isn't that it's like bad or anything. It's just that they force me to use it when, you know, Flash is equally as good or does the same stuff, even if it isn't as good. But they just, you know, my problem with Microsoft is that they try to just do their own stuff all the time, and it never catches on as a standard. And they
really?
Just go with that, it anyway.
Because Apple never does their own thing.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Well, they do it too.
That's a standard.
Well, that's because Steve Ballmer doesn't come out and say, "This sucks, use my shit."
Well, I think the Netflix player.
Well, I mean, Apple hasn't created a Flash yet.
Yeah,
I had no idea that the Netflix player was based off Silverlight. To be honest with you,
yeah, it was. It is.
Yeah, I mean, the only problem that Netflix had was the problem with recognizing, you know, like Google's Chrome and like the new Rock Melt and everything. But now that they fixed that, you know, because I mean, they all use the Silverlight plugin pretty well.
You know, isn't Silverlight based off of C#? Or am I mistaken?
It might be. I mean, that's what Microsoft is.
Because
really
C#
right now.
Yeah, C# is a very fast and very lightweight programming language. So,
I mean, it's not really that. It's sort of like the new standard. It was basically, it's sort of like the new Java, except for it's a lot better. I mean, that's what we learned in like freaking college, was like C#.
Right. No, no, I'm not quite sure, so I don't want to go on the record saying it is, but just food for thought. But anyway, we may be getting porn filters on the internet if you live in the UK.
What?
To all our listeners who are in the lovely United Kingdom, there is a movement going on in the government to make ISPs filter pornographic material from the internet.
Doesn't Australia already do that? To an extent.
I know Australia has very high regulation in terms of adult material.
I know they have a lot of regulation on the internet as well.
They don't like little boobs. Fucking racist bastard.
No, but apparently this move to make ISPs filter out pornography and stuff, it's getting a lot of flack, not only because it's sort of against anything that involves net neutrality and sort of common sense, but it would be impossible to be able to filter out all the porn on the internet, okay? Especially when porn consists of a good quarter of what's on the internet.
Yeah.
What was that stat I heard that was like 80% of the internet's porn? I mean, it's probably bullshit, but it actually sounds true.
The internet is for porn.
With Rule 34 in effect, there's always going to be content on the
internet. I mean, that's how I got into the internet, was a young kid horny and looking for porn.
Oh, back in the day of the janky JPEGs.
Oh, yes. I'd be so excited when I get a picture that was 50 KB.
Dude, that's how I learned out what a fucking JPEG was, is I was on like 56K modem, got the, you know, V90 hookup, and I was like, oh yeah, I can download my JPEGs faster, and I was like, oh, JPEGs are porn. That's what I thought forever. You know, I was like, JPEGs are porn. And then I got older and I was like, oh, they're not porn. Okay.
JPEG stands for porn.
And then videos came along and they were like, you know, little 200, 300K, 10-second clips that are like...
Oh, man, you remember Real Video Streaming?
Oh, God.
Oh, Real Player? Oh.
It was like watching Legos. Fuck.
Pixelated Legos.
The worst was when you had sites that had like an entire movie, like 200 different like 10-second clips, and you had no idea what was in each one. You had to like go searching. From like clip 43,
is this the
one I want to get off to? And you have to wait 5 minutes just to find out for it to download.
just to find out that you picked
really lucky and
these fucking kids. These kids these days with their like live video streaming, like you porn and like all this fucking bullshit. I mean, back in my day,
there was science involved in figuring out which one of those goddamn clips was the actual money shot. You get to like guess.
Because you'd be up all night and only get to see three videos because it would take an hour to download them.
So you like you become really good at math and process of elimination. Be like, okay, save a whole bunch of time. It's probably video 43, and most of the time you'd probably be around that spot.
Yeah, now we have convenient scrolling images when you mouse over the image. Or the mouse
I mean,
over
Google, dude. You fucking type into Google, do image search with like the like non-moderate mode, like, you know, search safe off. Type in docking.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, here we go.
Did I tell you guys about my story the other day with the old guy talking about YouTube? I posted it on White Noise. I was at this Christmas, or not this holiday party, two nights ago, and most of the people there were good 20 to 25 years older than me. But anyway, so we're at the dinner table, and I'm sitting next to this guy who's in his 50s, and he starts going. He's like, "Yeah, so my son, he showed me this thing on the YouTube, and it was this video. It was a news report of this man living in a poverty stricken neighborhood, talking about how his sister almost got raped, and he's saying this stuff, and I'm like sort of smiling to myself, and I'm like, this is Bed Intruder, isn't it? So he's like, and he's sitting there saying how he's going to go find the guy who did it. He was so stricken with grief, and I'm like, oh my God, this guy really thinks this is serious. And he's like, and everybody around the dinner table, I'm waiting for somebody to go like, oh, you know what a meme is? That's Bed Intruder, this and that. No, everybody was like, oh my God, that's so terrible, you know, this and that. And the guy continues, just like, and what's even worse is after this poor gentleman and his sister were suffering on the news, this two white kids took the video and made a music video out of it.
Oh my God.
Making fun of it. Wow. And on top of that, this music video I saw in the corner, it had over 17,000 sales downloads. I'm like, isn't that the views? Like, you know, how many views the video's gotten? And he's like, it's so despicable. These people made money off of this couple's terrible, terrible experience. And I'm sitting there face-palming myself. And this other lady pops up and goes, that YouTube thing, you could type anything in there, and you will find out things that will corrupt our children.
Oh, man.
Were you with your Greek family?
Well, some of them were Greek, but it wasn't my family. Or anything,
it just sounds like so when I went with my Jewish family.
I was like, do I say anything? Because if I say like, "Yo, dude, that was, you know, it's funny, you know, it was a joke, this and that," like the guy made money off of this and actually moved out of the ghetto, you know. But I'm so shocked and appalled by the YouTube thing and the rape video. I was like, "Oh my!"
Well, your first red flag was the extraneous
The YouTube.
That was pretty much your hint of what was going to happen afterwards.
The YouTubes and the interwebs.
Unbelievable.
One day we'll find that series of tubes and we'll dismantle it.
But it was really funny. The guy, sales downloads was the kicker for me. Sales downloads from YouTube.
When I was listening to you explain that, I was really hoping that you'd say like, yeah, he was so angry, and his sister was about to get raped, and he got so mad that he broke into song. He just started singing on the news.
Oh, my God.
No, but speaking of naughty things on the internet, Craigslist no longer letting you be naughty. Not by choice. Apparently, if you remember back in the day, Craigslist had its adult ad section, which got a lot of criticism because the authorities were really concerned that it was being used as a way for prostitutes to get customers.
And it was.
It was. Rightfully so. So then Craigslist was like, okay, well, we don't want to take down our adult things, so what we'll do is we'll sort of clamp it down so that legal service providers, like legal escort services, can pay $10 to have their ads on there. So all the hookers pretty much just went to Casual Encounters in that area and just sort of
right.
Posted their ads there.
Naturally.
So now finally...
Yeah, Ron's an expert.
Yeah, I mean, my business has really died out over the past few months.
Oh, yeah, I get a couple of guys with the spinning signs on the street.
Free mustache ride. That's how you lure them in.
Craigslist finally caved. It's shutting down its adult service section worldwide.
Bastard. Well,
now it'll just go into some other page, like goods and services.
Carts for sale.
Or maybe just the back seat.
Oh, grooming services. There we go.
Nice.
But you can't kill off something like that. It'll just migrate to someplace else.
He'll go to Yahoo Answers.
Oh, God.
Yahoo Answers. One of my favorite places on the internet.
Have you guys checked out Quora yet by any chance? Quora?
Nope. Honestly, I've never heard of it.
It's sort of like a Yahoo Answers or thing. It's a little bit more advanced and more serious. You have a lot of people who are social media and actual technology moguls on there responding to questions that people ask, or like legitimate questions. Like, you know, what's the next step for Delicious for Yahoo? And somebody like a Facebook developer. I think I read some answers from the guy who actually invented the Facebook news, the news feed, and stuff like that. They're actually doing answers on there, and it's Quora. It hasn't reached the point of being as retarded as Yahoo Answers is, but it's still a pretty legitimate thing to look into. And you actually learn a lot of stuff on there. It's pretty sweet. So
I can buy that. Anything's better than Yahoo Answers. That place is terrible. I just go there just for the laughs. There's no information.
I once told a guy to electrocute himself, and he actually believed me.
Artoftrolling.com.
Well, he was like something about his motherboard, like couldn't. Okay, this guy was an idiot. He supposedly something was wrong with the CPU, so he took a screwdriver and started like fiddling around on his motherboard, you know, and like.
That sounds like my most hated support call ever. So
he was saying like smoke came out or something and didn't know what to do.
Seriously, hold on, Steven. One second. Best phone call I ever got was this user called me, and he was like, "So I took my case apart and I put my hand on the CPU and it was warm." And I said, "Really?"
You think?
He actually burnt himself by putting his hand on the CPU.
What a genius.
I was like, yeah, it was hot. How long did you keep your hand there for? And like, he didn't answer, and I was like, that's what I thought.
I'm looking up right now to see. I know it's somewhere on it, because I was actually voted best answer for this thing, believe it or not. Okay, I actually found it. This is about a year ago. And he's going on and on. I'll post this link, but pretty much I tell him, you know, okay, the thing to do it is called power routing. First thing you do is you disconnect the power cord. Then with your pocket knife, gently cut through the cord, strip off any excess plastic so that there's plenty of wires sticking out. Then plug the cord back into the wall outlet. Now you got to do this quickly. Moisten the exposed wiring from the cord so that you put it in your mouth, so you swirl it really good with your tongue, because a lot of saliva enzymes help. Okay. Because this depolarizes shorted circuitry. And quickly pull the wiring out of your mouth and stick them onto your CPU until you notice a nice blue glow. If this doesn't work, do it 5 times until it does.
I will never hire you to work at my help desk.
This guy took it seriously. He goes, are you serious? Actually, I can't tell if you're joking. Seriously, if you're trying to kill me, I don't know. Or if you believe I'm going to die, I'm not trying this. And then he responds back to his own question saying, okay, actually, I Google power routing. There's no such thing. I hope you're joking. Otherwise, you could be a murderer. Next time, put JK or LOL after what you're saying. So that way I can know if I'm taking you serious.
Oh, man. That guy needs to win the Darwin Award.
I killed myself because I listened to Yahoo Answers.
that's a book idea right there.
Okay, what? Kevlar, you just found it somehow. I don't know how you found it, but you found it.
What do you find?
It's called Google. Right, I Googled Yahoo Answers Power Rally.
Holy shit, Google?
Yes, so that'll be on the topic list for anybody who wants to read that one.
I think I'm the second Google person box. Ever Google power routing, by the way.
Are you kidding? Is this your name, Steven? Yes.
But I got voted, you know, best answer, so...
100% too, one vote.
Anyway, we'll take a quick break right now and go to Vito, because I know he wants to review Opera 11, like he promised us a couple podcasts ago. So, Vito, if you're ready, take it away.
Hooray, Opera 11. I am really impressed. I'm not going to lie. The interface is really clean. There's some little hiccups here and there. Like, it does not like Tiny Chat at all, and I'm not really sure why. But for most things, it's a lot like Chrome, in that it just has the tabs going across the top. And then you have the address bar with the search bar and everything. It'll save all of your closed tabs, like most new browsers will these days. But instead of having to do like a Control Shift T to open your tabs back up, there's like a little recycle bin on the side. You can click that, and it'll have all your tabs in there. So if you know which one you want to open, you don't want to go and open up 15 to get back to the one that you closed like 10 minutes ago. Then you can just go in there and find that one. I really like the way that it saves your passwords, and you can just log in with a control enter. Love that. Let's see. I don't really like the way that it just seems to crap out on websites with no real warning. Does anybody have any questions?
Is this a worthy competitor to Chrome or Firefox?
Well, I stopped using Chrome just to make sure I got the full experience, so it's not just like something that I'm going to play with for a little bit and then try and review it that way. I wanted to fully immerse myself in it, so... I do think that it's just as good as Firefox, if not better.
It's very good. The funny thing is I was actually having like a very huge problem like using Chrome, so I actually switched to Opera and I love it.
I said, it's just a couple of weird things that's quirky about it. Like whenever I go on Tiny Chat, it works just fine until I try to start broadcasting, and then the whole thing just locks up, and that kind of sucks. I like that it has the built-in previews. Like, if you mouse over your tabs, you'll get a little thumbnail preview that pops up under it. The scrolling animations are really smooth. Like, with Chrome and Firefox and Internet Explorer, I almost said IE, and then Internet Explorer just morphed into
it. He said Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer on the interwebs.
With the Google box.
with the YouTubes.
The scrolling is really smooth. There's not any of the jitteriness that a lot of the other browsers have. If you're scrolling with this one, it's just nice fluid motion. I really enjoy seeing that in a browser. It shows that they put some work into it. And something that I found by accident, if you click the top bar just below the tabs, it'll pop up all of your tabs. It makes maybe about an inch up top, and you get a thumbnail preview of all of your tabs at once. So if you just have a gigantic monitor and you want to see them that way, have fun with that.
How are the page loading speeds?
It's fast.
Very fast. It,
it's really fast. I mean, when you're on a high-speed connection, stuff is fast to begin with, but it's still faster on a cold boot than Firefox is by far. With Opera, it's about the same. It's comparable to Opera. I haven't really noticed much of a difference between Opera and Chrome. But with Firefox, Firefox is just all kinds of slow.
Gotcha.
All right. Yeah.
I have one problem. I mean, I'm an avid Netflix user, so that's usually like one of the first things I go to when a new browser comes out. Chrome only just recently got support from Netflix, but it seems that Opera doesn't have it yet. Which is,
well, that might,
you know,
that might be because it's beta.
Oh, possibly. But though the problem is generally on Netflix's end, because Netflix doesn't quickly update their player to recognize all of the browsers.
Okay.
All right. Thank you on the wonderful review of Vito, and thank you everybody else who also chimed in and took the time to give Opera 11 a try. Go ahead and give yourselves a pat on the back for that. Thank
Yay.
You.
No.
Now, we do have a couple of more sort of serious tech stories before we go diving into the really ridiculous stuff. So, first off, Clear 4G is now up and running in San Francisco. I'm sort of becoming the official poster boy of Clear 4G on this podcast for some reason.
Because you're using it right now.
I'm using it right now, yes. But I've never been with an ISP that has yielded such positive results for me, ever. It's that freaking good. So
well, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, if you're in San Francisco and you're looking for internet on the go, perhaps something for your iPad or your iPhone, or even just for your laptop, check out Clear's 4G. They do offer, I believe it's a 14-day trial period, money-back guarantee. So if you grab it and it doesn't work for you or you don't like it, you can return it full refund. So, and lastly, on the serious topic list, RapidShare has hired a lobbying firm to expunge its name from one of the 5 worst websites on the internet, according to was it the United Nations or something. Everybody know what RapidShare is?
Yeah, it's like where you wait to download.
It's a file hosting service, yes, and it's primarily used for sharing illegal software, music, videos, pornography, etc.
Really, I thought that's what torrents were for.
Well, this too, but this one you pay monthly or yearly, or however much you want to pay for, and you get pretty much unlimited downloads, unlimited bandwidth rather, depending on how much you pay for it. There's a whole bunch of different sites like this. So
why not use torrents and wait?
Well, because these are speedier. You have a dedicated high speed connection to download from, especially if like you know your torrent.
Porn can wait. I mean, you have to get warmed up for that. I mean,
how much porn do you really need to download though?
I've got about 500 gigs.
Why download? Why download porn at all? Build-up
period before you orgasm.
Why even bother downloading porn? Streaming sites have pretty much made storing them locally obsolete. My opinion.
Exactly.
I agree with you.
Well, what is it? In case some sort of apocalyptic disaster takes away your internet, you got to have like all of the how many gigabytes of porn on an external drive?
I'm talking like hold on. What happens? Like HD, like those boobs are like talking to you, man.
What happens if you want to store it on your iPhone and the website that you normally go to is all in Flash?
No, fuck the cloud, dude. Yeah, fuck the cloud. I'm going to trust my port to the cloud, dude. Fuck that.
I grew up with janky JPEGs, so I can deal with the crap. You don't need it.
Me too.
Fucking floppy disk, dude. That's all I got to say.
I actually know somebody who has his porn stash on DVDs and CDs burned from like 10, 15 years ago still.
Wow. I mean, I have my backups on DVDs.
Like, he saved them all. He's never going to watch them again, but he saved them all, these videos and stuff.
Maybe I have hard drives dedicated to porn, that's all I'm going to say.
Sounds like we know what his inheritance to his kids is going to be.
Yeah, right.
Here, son. Lesbian Snake Inferno, Volume 10.
Volume 10, I wasted all your college tuition on DVDs. Here they are.
No.
Are we done with the serious stories now? Should we?
Wait, that was a serious story?
Yeah,
that
really.
Serious story?
Fucked that one up, didn't we?
Story broke.
Maybe we should get breathalyzers before podcasts.
I think that's a bad idea.
Of course you would.
All right. Konami has a Nintendo 3DS dating simulator that uses facial recognition to block virtual cheating.
Does it just show the person like a photo of a hand?
What pretty much... Okay, first of all, it's a dating simulator. Okay, that's where your first WTF starts at. For the Nintendo 3DS, which isn't even out yet. But what it does is it uses the, the camera and stuff like that to detect facial features. And if your virtual girlfriend in the little 3DS, if somebody else picks up the 3DS and starts trying to play with her, what she will do is start acting confused and saying things like, "Who are you?
You're not my boyfriend."
What if the program likes the other person more and she cheats on you? Can you be justified to delete her?
How long does it take?
Are you able to return the game? Can you return the game after that?
The bitch cheated on me.
If you delete your save game, do the Nintendo cops show up?
Yeah, I got that. Took a second.
I don't know, but yes. Apparently, we won't be seen as stateside anytime soon. I think it's limited to Japan because... That's where the market for virtual dating simulators is.
CSI.
Why? Just Japan. Just stop. Please.
I say Japan should keep doing this shit because we need something to laugh, about. We're not going to see this kind of crazy crap over here. That's for sure.
I mean, we already see tentacle porn.
Well, you might be able to import it from Japan. The game will be called Project Love Plus.
Project Love Puss.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Oh boy. In hacking news, I believe there was the hacking conference, camera, what it was called.
DEFCON?
No, yep. I don't know if it was at DEFCON or not. It was
I'm pretty sure it was the guy that found his hacked
stolen computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was at DEFCON.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he actually had what was called a dynamic DNS, which basically wouldn't work if he had a home router, but he was using the guy that stole or that was resold his computer was using dial-up. So it refreshed that IP, and he actually had his fucking SSL already running in the background, so he was able to log into it. It was an amazing story. I was laughing my ass off the whole time.
This guy had stolen this hacker's Macintosh, and this guy, the hacker named Zaz, pretty much goes on a 20-minute detailed explanation of how he tracked down his computer and the hacker over a course of, I think, 2 years to get it back, to get his stolen property back.
Oh, and I mean, it gave me multiple inspirations. I mean, he had fucking SSH running in the background so that he could log in and open up a VNC session whenever he wanted. So he could actually watch this guy using his system. I mean, it's brilliant because basically he only got his system back because he was not being secure. Had he locked down a system and encrypted the hard drive and prevented single user login, he wouldn't have got his laptop back, but he didn't do that. So it was an awesome story.
Yeah, and what the good parts about it were that, first off, this guy didn't bother changing any passwords or wiping the hard drive or anything. He just pretty much
started using it.
Used the computer as is. This guy was all the way in Vegas. So this guy, the hacker, after he ended up figuring out where this computer was, this and that, he installed a keylogger and he started using VNC, which is sort of like LogMeIn, where you can sort of see what goes on another person's computer, live on their screen. So he was able to find all this shit on this guy. The guy was using his computer to register to all these crazy sex dating sites. And
yeah, it was like Big Black Booty.
And he took awesome self-portraits of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the duck lips and everything.
And apparently, one of the things the guy said is that the keylogger showed that this guy was using Control V a lot, the pasting, or Apple V, and it's because he was copying and pasting the same, dating message and just blasting it, splattering on the wall where the shit sticks. Yeah. So eventually he was able to crack into to get this guy's passwords and stuff.
The reason why he actually got that was actually amazing. His keylogger couldn't capture the actual information because he was using the freaking keychain. And with the keychain, it's encrypted. But since the hacker already knew his own password, he could already, like, decrypt what this guy was typing in for his passwords. It's brilliant. I mean, like, the whole story was phenomenal.
I was impressed by the amount of patience he was able to exercise. I mean, he found the guy. He knew where he was. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to go all crazy about it. I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to gather as much information as possible and just fucking tear this guy down. I thought it was great.
Yeah, he wasn't patient, man. He was waiting for the right moment. I know exactly how the guy felt, dude. I had my iPhone stolen, and the only way that I got it back was I used like Mobile Me, and I tracked the guy's address, and I typed it in. I said, oh, hi there from blank, your address? And I said, I would like my iPhone back, please, or else I'm going to call the cops. And I got it back the next day, dude.
Nice.
My favorite part of the story was the when he typed in the text-to-voice that doesn't show up any windows or anything. I'm going to get you, motherfucker.
That was awesome. I love that part.
Problem is, though, this wouldn't help me at all because I locked down my computer enough so that an average user can't just start using it. So it would have to be wiped.
Yeah, it's a good pros and cons thing of how much security you should have in your machine. At one point, it's too little security could probably allow you to track it down eventually, and too much security will probably cause you to lose it forever. So it's an interesting debate.
Yeah, and here's the actual gray spot is lock down your user profile, lock it down, but create another user profile that's not locked down that has your dynamic DNS running to update your IP, hoping that they don't have a router in between you and like the firewall on the internet so that you can grab their IP. But just find a service so where it's using like social engineering to get them to log into this unencrypted profile that doesn't have your personal data, and that way you can actually find a way to get them back. Like, I mean, that's just it's perfect. Like, that's what that story inspired me to do.
Indeed,
right. Very nice. And actually, I have a similar story, but it ended up failing on me. Was that at the place that I work, we had a couple iPads, and they all had Find My iPhone installed on them, but they also were locked with the passcode, and I think there's an option in the Apple thing that after like 10 tries, it'll just
wipe the
entire computer, not remote wipe. It just wipes everything. So I had Find My iPhone on it, and the person that stole this thing, I could have tracked it, but they must have tried the passcode like 10 times or whatever, and it just wiped the whole thing out. So now I have no idea where it is.
I'm pretty sure right now.
The cleaning people, but
you're pretty sure it was the cleaning people.
Well, not cleaning people. We had like special floor people come in and redo, like clean the entire floors of the office, like, and they're like kind of open time deal thing. And it went missing the week that they were in and out of the office. So we're assuming it's them, but I don't know. I can't find it.
Was it Consuela?
That's racist.
Mr. Wrong, bad Windex.
Anyway,
we have no Windex on the Death Star.
You now could build your own iPhone-powered mini fridge beer cannon.
Good.
How cool is that? There's a YouTube video of this guy who created pretty much an iPhone app to control his mini fridge. Like, he did obviously some engineering work to the mini fridge as well, so that he could select his beer preference from the iPhone app. So whether it's Bud Light, Miller Lite, Bud Light, Lime, and this other stuff.
So those are beers?
Yeah, those are the beers he had, his preference, his beers of choice.
Yes, he beer. Spent all his fucking money on the refrigerator and the iPhone.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not beer.
But I can only afford the piss now.
Oh, yeah, there's also Pabst. PBR. Yes.
Let me write off on my Fixie.
Being able to choose your beer preference from your iPhone, you could then, it loads it up, the fridge loads it up in its little cannon, and then you could use, the fridge has a built-in camera across from across the room, and you could see the camera and control it from your iPhone and see what it's looking at, have it aim it toward you or whoever your target is, press the fire button, and it will launch that frothy brew straight into your lap.
Or, great, or right halftime. You cannot have like a beer like fucking facial and just go to the fridge, open the beer, and fucking drink it like I do every night.
I mean, it all sounds interesting, but at a certain point, you got to get off the couch. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. It'll work great right until halftime, and then you got it right to your face, and you launch it, and you're just a little bit too slow, and then you're fucking eating glass shards.
I think it only shoots cans.
Yeah, aluminum shards then.
Even better.
Oh, well, then you just lose all your fucking teeth. Yeah. Which you probably don't have anyway if you're drinking that piss.
Don't be hating.
Who was that just chimed in?
With the hillbilly accent.
No. Was that Gonzo?
It had some quality beers in there.
It was Gonzo. He throws down on the redneck shit.
I do. Born and raised, motherfucker.
Hey, man.
I'm from Kentucky, motherfucker.
Throw down.
See? I'm from Alabama. My wife's from Kentucky. I know.
Holla!
But I gotta drink shitty beer.
Exactly. The first step is admitting that you have a problem, Gonzo.
I don't discriminate. If it's in the fridge, it's getting drank. I don't care what it
is. Fucking sour cream, butter, eggs. He doesn't give a shit.
Don't give a shit.
You know what? Free beer, nobody has a right to complain about free beer. But I personally would not purchase that shit and put it in my refrigerator.
It all gets you drunk. What's the fucking problem?
It doesn't have to taste like ass while
after
I'm getting...
After 10 beers, it all tastes the same.
You must have tasted a lot of ass, good sir.
I have. I'm an ass man. What can I say?
Nice. Awkward silence.
Sommelier of ass.
Anyway, let's start back on topic.
Okay. Chinese scientists invent electro abs for women's chests.
And down the drain.
Okay, it's actually on the Giz front page right now. I'll be posting the short URL in a minute.
It is on the Giz front page.
Put your hand.
But yes,
hand
apparently,
check.
All you ladies out there who want, you know, a pair of six paps up there instead of down there.
A six paps? I can go
six
for six paps.
Ron's gonna love that.
If you look at the video, the very first images of girls that come up, I swear to God, they had to be 12.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it now.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, that's not going to end well. This conversation.
Yeah, this is bizarre.
I don't know. I'm not quite sure if this is supposed to. It's showing that's supposed to enhance your boobs, make them bigger.
Well, to quote Penn, you have to have good DNA for good TNA. It's unless you pay a surgeon. You know, some vibrating crap is not going to. I mean, what is the point? Was it making you swollen? Is that how it works?
Why does it have the classic anime fucking tentacle ring soundtrack?
Yeah, and there is one part of the video where it shows a quick animation of fat traveling from the breast area to the stomach area, and it was strange how it seemed to be draining out into the. I'm like, that can't be unseen, and I hate this video now.
I'm not watching it.
Oh, you are missing out, good sir.
I doubt it.
It's nothing special.
It's in Chinese, though, so you can't really understand.
I was going to say, yeah, that's got to be Chinese.
By the way, speaking of those crazy videos, you know the Taiwan news agency that makes those Taiwanese videos?
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah. I was watching this one they did about Michael Vick a few days ago, and how, it was all about how Barack Obama was, Michael Vick's biggest fan. He's the reason. He's, secretly, but he's, the Steve Jobs Darth Vader of Michael Vick. So I noticed that these videos, for some reason, those guys cannot make any models that are not light-skinned Asian in look or stature at all. I mean, their models of other cultures look really, really bad.
Are you really critiquing someone else's animation?
I am. I am an animation connoisseur, sir. My animation was quite...
It was pretty spectacular. You have to, yeah, you have
that
to
crotch admit. Throw was top-notch.
Yeah.
That probably was my favorite part of that whole video, was when the guy gets engulfed by the massive bush.
Local to me, this happened earlier this week in Gurnee, Illinois. A woman was finally arrested for assaulting a police officer with a sex toy.
It was a dildo. Let's just come out and say dildo because it's fun to say.
Well, actually, it's not. It wasn't a dildo. It was, I quote, she reached into a dresser drawer for what the officer thought was money to pay her bill, but instead pulled out the pleasure device. The officer deflected the sex toy with his hand and was not injured.
Fortunately. Oh, wait.
So this woman
was a dildo.
She had skipped out on her tab at a local seafood place, Joe's Crab Shack, like twice, so they finally called the cops. The cops went over to
her. There's your sign.
Yes. And she was charged with assault with an officer with a clear, rigid, feminine pleasure device. That's what it says in the police report. So.
Or a dildo.
Yes.
It was penis replica.
It was clear, rigid, and feminine. So.
Fleshlight.
Unless you were beating him with a rubber vagina that she scissors with, I don't think it was anything else.
It could have been anal beads. She may have been wielding him like nunchucks.
Okay. I'll go with anal beads. But I don't think you can necessarily qualify that as feminine only. I think anal beads are a unisex pleasure device.
Well, I hate to bring it up, but all of them are pretty much universal if you think about it.
Except for the fleshlight. Fleshlights are not.
That's true. That's
well,
true.
The women could also wear a strap-on and go with that.
What is the point of that?
I was just going to be classy and not say that.
Classy? I don't know what the classy is.
Yeah, classy. I told you nothing would change with the noise cast.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, absolutely nothing.
We're still the noise cast you love or hate or are just really disgusted by it sometimes. Okay, if an officer came to your house and you had to assault him, what would the look around you right now? What would you reach to attack him with?
I don't want to get shot with the dildo in my hand.
He died violently with the dildo in his hand.
I don't know. That'd be a hell of a way to go out, man. Can you imagine, like, the obituary? People crying at your funeral.
Can you imagine your obituary?
Doing what he loves, which was
your
holding
obituary the being read by a bunch of guys on a podcast.
So, Ron, what about you? If an officer came to your house to collect a debt that you didn't have, and you had to assault him with something, suppose you didn't have a chance to run to your dresser drawer and grab a clear, rigid, feminine pleasure device to assault him with.
I was going
to
say
what would you assault the officer with?
His hipster beard.
Yeah, I would do the hipster beard attack, which is a trademark move of mine. But that's only if I couldn't go get all the feminine orgasm products that I have.
Or is other words your beard.
So fuck you guys, I want to live.
This so is Sparta.
Just roll over and take it.
Yeah.
Well, here in Illinois, the bond for that is $10,000. It was reduced from $75,000. So if you attack an officer with a sex toy, you better have $10,000 to bail your ass out of jail.
I'll remember that next time.
Next time you assault somebody with a dildo.
Yeah, remind me not to go to Illinois.
Over the holiday season, a very intelligent criminal was caught smuggling cocaine into the country in L.A. He had a very good plan, actually. The only bad part was his execution, He tried smuggling cocaine in Easter candy during Christmas season.
I wouldn't really say it was the execution, more the timing that was way off. I mean, well,
that's what tipped the officers off into saying, why the hell does this guy have Easter candy right before Christmas? So, 14 pounds of cocaine, Mr. Esteban Galtez.
And that's a lot of
soccer. So that's why I didn't get my shipment this year. Fuck.
So this was in Miami. It happened. And with Easter candy.
No, it was in L.A., dude.
No,
Miami
it was...
Man.
Oh, Miami Band in L.A. Okay, in L.A.
Learn to
okay.
read, motherfucker. You're letting the dumb Southerner outread you. How do you feel?
Pretty confrontational.
Well, they were pastel-colored fake candies. Ooh, under the cardboard bottom of a paper shopping bag. So not only were they Easter candy...
A what kind of shopping bag?
Paper.
They were under the cardboard bottom of a paper shopping bag. So not only did this guy use the wrong seasonal, confectionaries to smuggle his cocaine, he went the extra mile to hide the Easter candy in the bottom of a shopping bag.
Did you really ever think you were ever going to say in your life, seasonal confectionaries?
So he could have gotten away with it if he didn't hide it under the bag. Like, he could have been like, I'm preparing. I'm getting ready.
These are the favorite candies for my children that only come from Colombia.
Right. Cocaine!
Oh, boy.
Where's Dr. Oxo when you need Where the fuck is Dr. Oxo or Boots?
I tell you where DeBroxo is. He's out fucking kicking Esteban's ass for screwing up.
Yeah! Yeah! Cocaine! I do cocaine!
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch. This sounds like a good place to die off.
To die off? We're like the fucking dinosaurs.
I think we've reached the end of our ridiculousness. I don't know how much more ridiculous things could get.
I think a lot more.
This is a great way to start off the new year.
Yes.
This is the best podcast ever.
On that note, this was The Noisecast. Visit us at www.thenoisecast.com. Hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com/noisecast. As usual, we had our awesome crew here tonight, starting off with Gonzo Rider.
Can't wait to see you back next week for more talks about sex toys.
All right.
Ron Taraj.
Goodbye, everybody.
Veto number 9.
Cocaine!
Kaiser Maghead.
Save me from these crazy assholes.
I'm trying. Kevlar Menace.
If I had a profession, I would be professionally embarrassed.
What?
No, you wouldn't.
All right.
DJ Orphic on the mic.
One time I mixed two records together. It was awesome.
Oh, shit.
Wait, at the same time?
At the same time.
I hope everybody here at the podcast, on this podcast tonight, on previous podcasts, our usual crew behind the scenes, we hope you have a healthy, happy, and safe new year, and may all your wishes and dreams come true in 2011.
I want to save all the little boys.
Tune in again next time. Same time, same place. The Noisecast.
Pizza Hut.
What?
I'm at the Taco Bell. Pizza Hut. What? We're at the Taco Bell. What? We're at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
We at the Pizza Hut.
No.
We at the Taco Bell.
No.
We at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
What? We at the Pizza Hut. That Taco Bell. That combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Pizza Hut. Taco Bell. Combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Pizza Hut.
What?
I'm at the Taco Bell.
What?
I'm at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. Wait a minute, I've got that taco smell, that pescado smell. I got a lot of smells. I rolled a lot of L's.
I'm at that Pizza Hut.
Okay.
I got that pizza gut.
Nah.
I got that pizza butt.
No.
I'm at the Pizza Hut.
Nah.
And at the Taco Bell.
Yeah?
I'm at that Pizza Hut.
Okay.
I'm at that Taco Bell.
Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
Combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Pizza Hut.
Combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
One, two, three, four. I'm at the Pizza Hut.
What?
I'm at the Taco Bell. I'm at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. What?
I'm at the Taco Bell.
Really?
I don't see you. I'm at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Dog, I'm right here at the Pizza Hut.
Jamaica Avenue.
The combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell on Jamaica Avenue.
Jamaica Avenue.
That's where I'm at. Where you at?
Jamaica.